Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
I feel like Katy Perry could be singing about Joel Embiid. He may have some making up to do with his teammates after his Game 7 reaction. Gosh, talk about impeccable timing. And by that, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic. I don't think he could have picked a worse time to throw his teammates under the bus. Not only did they support him and promote him all year long, every chance they got to win the MVP award, the NBA MVP. But when he was unavailable to play, his teammates played on without him in this last month. And coming off a pretty rough, that's putting it mildly, a pretty rough performance by he and James Harden in Game 7, that's when he chooses to separate himself and Harden from the rest of the team in his call for help. Help! Even if he feels that way, which I'm stunned, I'm gonna believe that was his frustration, his anger, his embarrassment and humiliation, not only over the steamrolling Celtics in Game 7, but also over the fact that this is their third straight second round playoff exit. I'm going to believe he was speaking out of his emotions and out of his butt instead of taking time to think about it. But, as in B-U-T. But I still think it's ugly. It's an ugly response. It makes him look ugly. It makes him look as though he would rather take that blame and throw it anywhere else except carry it himself. But if you're the MVP, then A, play like it in a Game 7. B, set the tone for your teammates. C, to whom much is given, much is required. If you want to be the leader, not just the leader of the Sixers, but the cornerstone of the franchise, and you want to accept the MVP award, well then, more responsibility falls on you. Also odd timing because he played like crap at the end of game number 6 and for a good portion of game 7. I don't know how you can blame anybody else. What's that old adage you would hear in, not that you knew what the word adage meant in kindergarten or first grade, but elementary school, when you would point a finger at someone else, you've got 4 fingers, really 3, pointing back at you, who's counting when you're that young. Joel Embiid trying to point the fingers everywhere else, but exposing himself in this Game 7. And again, over the last month with the Sixers in the playoffs, he missed a bunch of games. If not for James Harden in the opener, but also if not for his teammates, Tyrese Maxey, D'Anthony Melton had a couple of big games. We know Tobias Harris has been solid. P.J. Tucker had 11 points in the first quarter on Sunday. Well, if not for his teammates, they're not still standing in these playoffs. So, ew, Joel Embiid. You're hot, then you're cold. You're in, then you're out. You're up, then you're down. That's not what MVPs are supposed to do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of MVP, Jason Tatum was hearing those chants in Boston on Sunday afternoon. We're going to get to Tatum and this Game 7 affair in which the Celtics exposed the Sixers in the third quarter. But backing up the truck, Joel Embiid, who, when combined with James Harden, had 9 turnovers in this game. 9! The Sixers only had 12. He and James Harden had 9 of them. Yes, they do handle the ball more often, but they also should be better at taking care of the basketball. 9 turnovers? The two of them together have 1 total three-pointer. That's 1. And the three-pointers that Joel was taking on Sunday, they were never going to go in. They were late shot clock bailouts or attempts at bailouts. In many cases, they were awkward. They weren't on point. I mean, James Harden in the last 2 games actually has been abysmal from three-point land. Really, 4 of the 7 games in this series, he was terrible. But that's James Harden. And by terrible, I mean his shooting, because that's what he loves to do. In games 2 and 3, he was historically poor. And in games 6 and 7, just about as bad. So if not for the 2 games in which he had 40-plus, he did pull another disappearing act when the series was on the line. But this is who he is. Speaking of hot and then cold, more cold, though, in this series. I'm not sure if Joel was stumping for James Harden to get a new contract in Philadelphia. Because initially, he actually started out talking about how he needs more help and then kind of tacks on James Harden's name.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone.
Okay.
You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, you know, we'll be fine.
I'm so embarrassed for him. It's cringeworthy. I'm cringing for him. And I said this earlier, but dude, if you wouldn't say it to my face, don't say it behind my back. It just happens that behind his back is, or behind their backs, that there's a microphone that's now broadcasting that comment to the entire world. Oh yeah, you're going to hear it again on this show too. I can't win alone is what he first said. Me and James can't win alone is what he ended up with. But the cold, hard truth, 9 turnovers in game 7. The two of them together shot a combined 8 for 28. They only had, 22 points total? In game 7, they combined for 22 points. And 1 for 9 from behind the arc. Ew. And you want to throw your teammates under the bus. Tobias Harris had more points than he did. So did Tyrese Maxey. So we're just talking about offense. But yeah, the turnovers, that's on them too. So it's a catch-22. If you can't take care of the basketball, well, then give it up to your teammates. But if you don't trust your teammates, well, then I guess you're going to be handling it more often. And the same guy who said he needed to touch the ball more at the end of game 6. And I agreed with that. He did need to have the ball more in his hands. But he took 18 shots on Sunday. More than anybody else by far on the team. And it was brutal. Now the Celtics deserve a ton of credit. Facing closeout, Facing elimination in game 6 and 7, they held the Sixers under 90 points in both games. Sure, Jason Tatum to the rescue at the end of game 6. That's the headline. But their defense, especially since they moved Rob Williams into the starting lineup, the defense has been locked in, similar to the same defense that drove them to the NBA Finals last summer. Could that be where they're headed? Maybe. We've got a pair of rematches on our hands and weird rematches. Going back to the bubble, remember how that was not real? It was an asterisk. It didn't count. There were no fans. They didn't play without any resistance, no home court advantage, no hostile environments in a bubble. But in Orlando, teams either responded well to the atmosphere or they didn't. It was an aberration and awkward for them too. Remember the Clippers just spit the bit so badly. In fact, Doc Rivers got fired in LA after that and ended up in Philadelphia. So, look how it's all connected. We'll talk about Doc here in a second. Celtics Heat, Lakers Nuggets, same Final Four from the bubble. And I thought that was so out of the ordinary. Didn't really count for anything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you, if you're in the Sixers front office or they consult with you because you are brilliant, what advice do you give the front office about how to handle this team moving forward? Joel Embiid says, I can't do it alone. Me and James can't do it alone. I suppose he thinks that James is part of the future. Is Doc Rivers part of the future? I had used a stat late last week because it blew me away when I saw it on TV. The last game 7 that Doc Rivers coached to victory was when he was with Boston. Remember, he was a championship coach when he was with Boston. So it cracks me up, actually. Well, that and the truth is optional on social media. When people post sentiments like Doc Rivers can't win anything. Well, 10 consecutive game 7s in which his teams have lost. So that's brutal and he knows it. But Doc, do you plan to be back in Philadelphia next season?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got 2 years left. So
given the tenor of what you've seen happen in the last 2 or 3 days where coaches of the year, guys with titles.
Yeah, no one's safe in our business, you know, and I get that.
No one's safe in any business right now. But I appreciate that wisdom from Doc. I can't give you a 100% guarantee that I'll be back next year because no one's safe in our business. Monty Williams got fired. Mike Budenholzer got fired. I mean, it's not just basketball. Gerard Gallant got fired after the Rangers were a first-round exit this year and had all kinds of potential. We see this. This is what happens. Coaches become the most expendable. So a little more from Doc coming up, but James Harden doesn't agree that drastic measures are needed.
I feel like we have a pretty solid team. Obviously you always look to get better, you know what I mean? Whether it's the personnel you have now or adding pieces. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, we're only 1 year in. You know, we played against a team who's been together for quite a few years now. You know, I mean, they were in the finals last year, so they kind of know what it takes to get back there. And this is only year one for us, you know, full year. It was great.
When you got here, you said that one of the reasons you wanted to come, if I'm not mistaken, was Doc. How has your relationship been with Doc, and would you like to see him back?
Our relationship is okay.
Actually, James did say that Doc has been fantastic. That's a particular quote that is also grabbing headlines. But he did say in another part of his press conference that Doc has been fantastic and has done a great job. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get a little more from Joel, though I kind of feel like he's given us the money cut. I can't do it alone. Me and James, we can't do it alone. Well, either one of you want to step up and slow down Jason Tatum or nah. Third straight year in which they've had an early exit, a second round playoff exit, despite the fact that they have gotten better in the regular season each of the last 3 years, underdog. And the fact that this season held the most potential, they still had two teams that were better in the Eastern Conference in both Milwaukee and Boston. It's not been the same team to eliminate them every year, though, either. That's the thing. It was the Atlanta Hawks 2 years ago. All right, you could say that that was the beginning of this group. But then James Harden mentions he's only been there for a full season. He's only been there a year and a half. The whole Ben Simmons mess, that goes back to the Atlanta Hawks second round defeat. Last year it was Miami. Now it's Boston. So you could say that there's a nemesis, but no, really, the second round is their nemesis. There's not one team that's holding the Sixers at bay. The Hawks and Celtics are nothing alike. The Heat, well, their offense is hit or miss at times, but man, their defense is tough. There are a lot of people who look at the Sixers team and call them soft. I don't know if I'd go that far, but they don't have a killer instinct. Sometimes they shrink. There's shrinkage in the biggest moments. By the way, 25 years of Seinfeld yesterday, I believe, or sometime in the last couple days, it was 25 years since Seinfeld ended, thus the shrinkage comment since it was in my brain. Well, Seinfeld was, not shrinkage. Really, synonymous. And good morning to you, too. Ultimately, the Celtics' defense was just as good as their offense in that fateful third quarter. Jason Tatum, man, what a performance. Most points ever in a game seven. And that eclipses Steph Curry's mark that was set 2 weeks ago. It was jaw-dropping to watch, and yet not completely unexpected considering where he'd been in game number six. So we'll hear from him. A 33-5 run that buried the Sixers. And once again, the response from Joel Embiid is...
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, you know, we'll be fine.
Not I need to find ways to get better. Not I need to shoot better. I need to step up on the game's biggest stage. Even Damian Lillard quote tweeted this audio with, huh? Question mark. Ruh-roh.
You can't win alone.
Oh, maybe you aren't going to be a primary destination for free agents if that's how you think. And let's be clear, you're not Michael Jordan who can call them your supporting cast. I didn't love that either when MJ would say it. But Jason Tatum, the Celtics, they deserve the yeoman share of attention on this Monday morning, though they likely won't get it. Well, Tatum will, but Joel Embiid, maybe that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to steal the Celtics' thunder, his last-ditch attempt to beat the Celtics at something.
Attention, listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tatum will back it out on the right side. It's been his day. Tatum. He's earned a pull-up three if he wants it. He takes it. Oh! Drills it!
Silver roll! Apple pie!
He's got 42! Celtics lead 99-76.
He's trying to get his ball to Tatum.
He does. Tatum. Right corner against Embiid. Tatum for a 50-piece!
And he, you know what? He showed it. He showed you 50.
A game 7, 50 for Jason Tatum.
You know, it definitely was in my mind that, you know, I had played as bad as it could get for 42 minutes or 43 minutes, whatever. And, you know, I say we have a saying, it's only up from here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's only up from here, according to Jason Tatum, whose mom was at the Garden on Sunday. And not only was she all smiles, but it was sweet to see their embrace following the game on Mother's Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. And Jason Tatum, he nearly watched the Celtics lose in game number 6, which would have been the end of the series. And he would have blamed himself. It's well documented now how bad it was for him until they got into the fourth quarter. Of course, he kept rebounding. He kept setting up his teammates. He was playing defense, but his shot was not there. And I wondered, as I watched him on Sunday start out like a house on fire and put together a 51-point performance, if he doesn't catch fire in the fourth quarter of game 6, now, chances are the Celtics are done. There's no game 7, to be fair. But if he doesn't catch fire, he's not the one who helps the Celtics snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. If that's not him, and he doesn't have 16 points in that fourth quarter, does he come out the way that he does in game number 7? He was locked in from start to finish. And he admits, as I say, that they were on the ropes. They were facing the end of their season. And while it wasn't all him, two worlds collide there. His own personal shooting problems and the Celtics desperately needing to extend the series.
You know, to be honest, they had us on the ropes in game 6, right? The end of that third, going into the fourth, you know, the game was back and forth. The crowd was into it. You know, they had us, and we figured out a way to win. And, you know, that was a great feeling to win that one and to come back home and, you know, have another opportunity.
In the words of Jaylen Brown, the energy shifted. And that game was it, you know, for, you know, one of our best players in Jason not to have a great game and then, you know, to finish the way he did. You know, and then we still got the win. That's demoralizing for a team because you know he's not going to go back-to-back with those games. And the show tonight, he comes out and set a record. So that's the beauty about this team. On any given night, anybody can keep going, keep us in it, win us games. And we just kept it going.
Marcus Smart actually says the series was over when Jason Tatum found his shot, found his stroke, and caught fire in the fourth quarter of game 6. Remember, he had 16 points. He outscored the Sixers himself. Oh, yeah, he actually did that again in the third quarter on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't only him. The defense was nearly lights out in the third quarter. They outscored the Sixers 33-10. And the defense was suffocating in that third quarter. Because the Sixers were getting bad looks, because they were mostly one and done, sometimes just chucking the ball up there at the end of the shot clock, settling for too many low percentage shots. There were a bunch of turnovers in that third quarter. Because of all of that, the ball was in the hands of the Celtics offense a lot more, which means more opportunities. And so for Jason, to kind of fight through that game six and then come out feeling as though the weight had been lifted off his shoulders. Well, not only 51 points, but 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, great defense. What did he tell us? Humbly, I'm one of the best players in the world.
Coming off last game, you know, obviously finished strong, but not starting off, you know, the way I wanted. And especially with our season being on the line last game, I was just excited to, we had another opportunity today as a team and, you know, for myself just to kind of bounce back.
In my standard, the last 3 games, because he was playing both ends of the floor. He was active on defense. He was physical. He was rebounding. He was communicating. And I just think when you do that game after game, you'll get into a little bit of a better rhythm. And so I just saw a well-balanced game to where he was competing on a defensive end, and, you know, he was making the right play on offense, and he made shots. That's the word, is he's learned how to problem solve. So he can recognize matchups, coverages. He can anticipate the next coverage. He can see the spacing. He can put guys where they are and make the right play. And so that, to me, is the evolution of players, is can they problem solve over and over again? And, you know, he's done that.
Joe Mazzulla took over for Ime Udoka not quite a year ago. And he's been criticized for some of his decisions in this postseason to date. But he's also relied on the wisdom of his teammates. Hadn't really thought about this, but our guest, Steve Hewitt of the Boston Globe, he joined us last hour. He said, or he reminded us, Al Horford's actually older than Joe Mazzulla. And this core group, now Horford went to Philly and came back, but this is a championship group. Or at the very least, they have championship potential. They got to the NBA Finals a year ago. They've got a lot of playoff games under their belt. Jason, Jalen, Marcus, definitely Al Horford. Even some of the other guys, the role players, they were part of the run last year. And now they're playing defense like that team because of one big change. Rob Williams inserted back into the starting lineup. That was a decision made by Joe Mazzulla, though you'll have to check out the interview on our podcast to find out where that actually came from. The link to our podcast is posted every weekday morning on both Twitter and Facebook. Look for Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald. But with Rob Williams back in that starting lineup as a defensive stopper and a rebounder, that's his primary job. Those are his primary roles. Al Horford was able to really stick with Joel Embiid wherever he went on the court.
Try to make everything as difficult as I could. You know, he's the MVP of the league for a reason. And how much pressure he can put on your defense and so many things that he can do. You know, I was just out there trying to fight for my life and trying to make an impact. And I understood that in this series, it wasn't going to be so much my offense. It was more defensively that I had to take that challenge and defend him for us to have a chance.
I like how Al points that out. No secret that his three-point shot, whew, it might have been the MVP for the Sixers had Philadelphia gone on to win this series. Okay, you're laughing behind the double pane glass, but come on, Jay. Think about how bad it was for Al Horford for a couple of games when the Celtics were on the ropes.
Al's the OG, man.
He's a very valuable piece of what they do, but my goodness, his three-point shooting, especially in the last 2 games, he was 0 for in game, was it game 5 when they got smoked?
Yeah, I believe. It was rough. He always tries to hit that because he's always open because they're going to leave him open after he's shooting the way he did. So he kept putting it up, and that was not easy to watch.
All right, I'm going to look just because he did make 2 triples on Sunday, and so we'll give him credit for that. And they were timely triples, but as he points out, his offense was secondary. He had 6 points yesterday. Okay, so the 2 triples, that was it. He made 2 of the 5 that he took. But I'm looking at his game log now just for kicks and giggles. Yeah, I was right. He was 0 for in the last 2 games. So he went 2 for 5 yesterday. He was 0 for 9 in games 5 and 6. In game 4, he was 2 for 7. That's the one they lost in overtime. He had a strong shooting game in the first, so the first one in Philadelphia, he was 5 for 7. That's the best he did all series. But get this, first 2 games, he was 2 for 12. So you take out game 3, I'm doing the quick math here. Take game 3 out of it, in which he was 5 of 7. He goes 6 of, let's see, 7, 14, 21, 12. He goes 7 of 32. Oh, 6, I'm sorry. 6 of 32. Did I say? Yeah. I mean, it was a disaster. Why are you shooting so many? I get it. You have the ability to make them, but when they're not dropping, he kept chucking them up there, laying bricks. He built an entire shed up there while he was laying bricks. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I like how he admits, well, more than my offense. All right. And I'm a big fan of Al Horford. He's gritty. He's tough. He's a leader. He plays great D. He's tenacious about it. And yes, he was able to go toe-to-toe with Joel Embiid in this game 7. But, I mean, the shooting was pretty bad.
I understood that in this series, it wasn't going to be so much my offense.
Could you imagine if Jason Tatum sits in front of the microphones and says, well, I mean, me and Jalen, we can't win this whole thing by ourselves. Like, maybe Al Horford needs to make a few more three-pointers. Like, isn't that essentially what Joel Embiid did? Gross. Just ew. But congratulations to the Celtics and the Heat, who will meet in the East again.
Damn, I am in the finals.
I mean, let's not get carried away. East finals, yes. 51 points for Jason Tatum. And then Al Horford played defense. All right, coming up, we've talked a bunch of hoops tonight, but we actually haven't gotten to Ja Morant in trouble again. I can't believe this. I am stunned how alcohol had to be involved or some substance. How does he make the same choice twice? I'm not even calling it a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's a choice. And now a pattern of behavior that's become disturbing. Suspended yet again by the Grizzlies. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you, what should the Sixers do? Should they rebuild? Should they re-sign Harden? Should they get rid of Doc? Oh, I actually have a pit in my stomach. I love Doc Rivers. He knows this is how it works. But man, this string of losses in game sevens, hard to shake. Now, it's something to be said that you're actually there, but you got to win one in 10 years.
You can't win alone.
Maybe Doc should say that. See how that goes over. The funny part is he singles out James Harden, who was awful, flat out awful in 4 of the games in this series. I mean, what? That had to be him stumping for James to get a new contract. It had to be that.
It was pretty much, I want James Harden and I don't want anybody else who's on this team to be here next year.
They wouldn't even be in game 7 if not for Tyrese Maxey.
Got that right.
Ugh.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Gross. Just gross. I'm so disappointed in him.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The gun wasn't mine. Not who I am. I don't condone any type of violence, but I take full responsibility for my actions. Made a bad mistake. I can see the image that I painted over myself with my recent mistakes, but in the future I'm gonna show everybody who Ja really is, what I'm about, and change this narrative.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ja Morant going back to mid-March. Almost 2 months ago now, and it still feels very fresh. Even more so as he put himself in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons again and forced the hand of the Memphis Grizzlies. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Honestly, as much as I understand, he's young. He's made some poor choices in the recent past. And this is a string of questionable behavior going back now for, gosh, a year or so. But 2 months after the NBA suspends him, the league goes through a review, 2 months after he goes to get help, he leaves the team to get help for some of his emotional and mental health, meaning he was trying to figure out how to deal with stress and anxiety. That's what he told us. He takes responsibility. I've got to be better. I'm a leader. Once again, there's a video of him waving a gun on Instagram Live. It's not just that he made another poor choice. He made the same dumb choice 2 months later. I'm dumbfounded by this. I understand we all make mistakes. But you just did it for the world to see and got roasted for it and lost money for it and went away to get help for your mental health because this was supposed to be a catalyst. A wake-up call. But now your team suspends you again. There's another league review. You just did the same damn thing. How is your team supposed to trust you? But also, how are they supposed to believe that you were being serious about getting help and being a leader? Once again, holding a gun Saturday night on social media. The post was later taken down, but this is an Instagram live session on a friend's account. His name's Devontae Pack. And he and Devontae are driving along and singing. There's a rap song. He's holding a gun. Don't know if it's his. I suppose that should be the next question, right? But he's flashing it on this video. Remember when he was caught the first time, it was in Denver at a nightclub on a team road trip. And he was suspended 8 games for it after he met with the commissioner. So Adam Silver, they met specifically to talk about this. And Silver noted, this is irresponsible, it's reckless, it's dangerous. And what did Ja Morant say when he got back? I realize now what I have to lose. I realize what's on the line. I'm going to be more responsible, smarter, stay away from all the bad decisions. They're out of the playoffs, what, a week and a half? 2 weeks? And he makes that same choice again. And it's just, it's a string now of poor decisions. And I know I said earlier that I don't even know if I used the word hope. I gotta believe he was under the influence of something, except they were in a car, so I actually hope that's not the case. But neither explanation is very appealing. Either you're under the influence of something, which is why you're not making smart decisions, and you actually just walked into it again 2 months after you told the world, 2 months after you got embarrassed and had to own up to it. The world knew all about it. So it's either that or you were fully sober and did it anyway. I mean, again, neither explanation is appealing. I mean, I'm sad for him, but gosh, I'm also just, I'm kind of angry at him. You got the kind of second chance that a lot of people don't get. And this is what you do with it? And I mean, I'll be darned if the Grizzlies don't make a drastic move here. I'm not sure what extent they're willing to go to, but the message has to be louder. The message has to be one of potentially zero tolerance policy. Any more choices like this and you leave us no choice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're cramming it in here before the top of the hour just because I want to get to it. We had mentioned it a couple of times. Late last night, we saw one more team advance to the conference finals on the ice. Hey, we've seen this team at this level before.
Jack decided not to shoot, not to pass. Shea was ready for a one-timer. Now a left-point shot, save, rebound, score! Jonathan Marchessault finds the garbage in front, pots the goal, ties the game. 2-2. 4 minutes into the second period, Jonathan Marchessault continues. Marchessault fishing for the puck. It's in the skates of the right goal line. Now pulled loose by Barbashev, right wall. Across to the left, Martinez. Slap shot, save. Up into the air, off the post. They score! Marchessault again, and the Knights take a 3-2 lead.
Definitely happy. We're definitely going to enjoy it tonight, but we're just halfway done.
Marchessault, three goals. Another postseason hat trick for him, and the Golden Knights are able to really show themselves in this game six like they have during the course of the series that they were the better team overall. Kind of interesting to think of the Jack Eichel element of this, right? He's found new life in his career in Vegas. And so now here he is with the Golden Knights, and they're into the conference finals.
A lot of momentum swings through the series. You know, once again, probably didn't start the – well, we got the first goal, but probably didn't start. We give them the lead early, but, you know, a good second period. We get a hang of the game here, and we play from there. So, yeah, credit to all the guys. We stuck with our game plan for 60 minutes, and it worked out.
Disappointment again for Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. So Edmonton losing in this game six last night extends the drought for a Canadian team. It's not all on them. The Maple Leafs out too, but will not win the cup for 30 years, going back to when Montreal had the Stanley Cup in 1993. But yeah, one of the best players in the world, maybe undisputed best player in the world, but this is painful.
Feels like every team that wins and goes on a stretch of winning, kind of experiences this. Obviously, it's not what you want to do, not what you want to feel. That being said, you know, I really feel that you got to go through some of this to win. I think we've seen that all the way through. Let's hope it's the last time.
Remember, Oilers lost to the Avalanche last year. Avalanche went on; they went on to win the Stanley Cup, obviously. And so the Oilers don't get back to the conference final. Sometimes feels even more painful the second time through it, right? Because you know how close you were.
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
He and Leon Draisaitl were actually together on the same line. They were reunited again to try to generate some offense in the third period, but just not enough. And Connor McDavid had one very memorable close call that just clanged right off the post. But it's the thrill of victory. It's the agony of defeat. So congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights. We've got one more game seven tonight in hockey, and then the final four set in both hoops and hockey. Have a great Monday. Survive your Monday. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.